Real Madrid make history and produce a Champions League performance to remember. Coming from behind to score five and win at Liverpool. We'll break down a Vinicius masterclass, stunning goals, bizarre ones too, and an iconic comeback. Napoli will also feel they're on the brink of a first ever quarter-final after a superior showing and success at Eintracht Frankfurt. Let's get into it and discuss the action from the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and what a return to the action in Europe's premier club competition we had tonight. European football expert Alvaro Romeo is alongside me. Alvaro, two big away wins, but Real Madrid are perhaps the story of the Champions League so far, the game of the Champions League so far.
It has been, and I think that this will be a scoreline that will resonate in Real Madrid's history as well. And I think that I am not being too carried away, because Liverpool, a side that last season reached the Champions League final and one of the most unrecognizable power forces in the world, they were beating Real Madrid 2-0 in this game before the 20th minute, when Vinicius scored the goal that cut the deficit for Real Madrid. Then Vinicius scored again. It was 2-2 after the first half, and it looked like the second half was going to be again very contested. It had been very intense, but Real Madrid in the second half, they produced a beautiful performance. They dismantled Liverpool completely, and you know, some players like Benzema or Luka Modric, they are still Real Madrid history, and some of the most Real Madrid important players you can find. And the hug of them both after the game, probably thinking about this win and the many wins they have had together in the Champions League for Real Madrid, was probably the metaphor of the game for me. You know, this is Real Madrid, and still with veteran players like this, they can win these kind of games.
Okay, well, let's confirm the scores. From the round of 16 first leg ties on Tuesday, Liverpool 2, Real Madrid 5, Eintracht Frankfurt 0, Napoli 2, and we will get to that game from Germany. But we have to start at Anfield, where it was a repeat of last season's final between Liverpool and Real Madrid. Alvaro was watching alongside Mark Scott.
Salah into the area, great ball, great goal! Oh, Darwin Nunez, that is a masterpiece! Coming infield, he flicks it beyond Courtois to give Liverpool the lead after just 3 minutes at Anfield.
Beautiful, 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 lovely goal from Darwin Nunez.
Bit of a heavy touch, gives Carvajal the chance to just nip in and prod it back to Courtois. It's an awkward one for him. Oh, he's made an error, and it's 2-0 Liverpool. Mohamed Salah, horrible moment for Thibaut Courtois. Now Benzema, Vinicius has it, bit of space. Oh, good shot, good goal. Absolutely magnificent from Vinicius Junior to half the deficit.
Vinicius this season has been the outstanding player of Real Madrid.
Oh, and Alisson, it's in! It's another goalkeeping error, and it's Vinicius Junior this time who's the beneficiary. Two goals for him as Alisson's clearance crashes into the Madrid man and loops into the empty net.
Modric fizzes it in, it's 3-2 Madrid!
Oh, what a header! Crashed home by Eder Militao from close range.
By Cacic, gave it away, and it's come for Benzema, deflected it in! 4-2 Real Madrid!
This is absolutely ridiculous from Real Madrid!
It is an incredible remontada by Real Madrid. Remontada, for those who don't know, means comeback in Spanish.
Vinicius Junior pokes it through, Benzema, chance to make it 5, and he has done! Absolutely brilliant from Karim Benzema and Real Madrid. It is a right royal show of quality from the holders who have come to Anfield and from two down produced a five-star performance.
And that is the way it finished. We thought more goals might flow, but they did stop midway through the second half. Benzema's second of the night, sealing a historic win for Real Madrid. And there's no doubt that is what we've seen. UEFA's player of the match, Vinicius Junior, so key in the first half. And for Liverpool, the stats make grim reading. The first team in Champions League history to lead 2-0 and then lose a game by a three-goal margin. Mark Scott, you heard him there, joins Alvaro and myself now to analyse the match. I suppose with this, you hit Mark, you almost have to go chronological to get through the game, and then we can look at it in a broader way. Darwin Nunez fit for Liverpool, key. He scored the opening goal, a super flick. And for Real Madrid, they went a bit more attacking than we thought, and that paid off, I suppose, with a couple of goals in the first half. But the goalkeeper errors, I suppose, might be a talking point early, because they both, Courtois and Alisson, both had one.
Yeah, very strange game, Rob. Liverpool came flying out of the traps, made a brilliant start, 2-0 up after a quarter of an hour. The second of those goals coming when Courtois miscontrolled a back pass and Salah was in close attendance. The ball dropped, he poked it home, and Liverpool looked like they were going to run away with it. You thought that they might be the side that came out of this first leg with one foot in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. But I guess it's that know-how, it's that belief, it's that calmness that even when you're on the ropes, you think, we can get out of this. And they stuck in there and they got back level and actually nearly went 3-2 up right at the end of the first half. That's how ridiculous a turnaround it was from Real Madrid. Vinicius, a moment of magic. I think it was crucial that they scored at that time because Liverpool, as I say, were bang on top even when Madrid got their first goal of the night. It was a bolt from the blue, brilliant hit from Vinicius, but all of a sudden it just punctured that air of self-belief that Liverpool had. And Real Madrid, I think the muscle memory kicked in. They were like, oh, we've been here before. We know what to do. We can get this sorted. And they pushed on and they did that. And then in the second half, an early goal, Militao's header from a free kick. But the goals after that were just... they were just Real Madrid goals, weren't they, Alvaro?
Absolutely, and Mark is spot on with that. I mean, Real Madrid has the know-how, and when they are losing a game like this, and the beginning, the start of the game was very difficult for Real Madrid. Let's don't forget that, because it was 2-0 after 13 minutes. But Real Madrid doesn't throw away their toys in the air, you know. They still stay in the game. I think that perhaps today the team wasn't ready to play the first 20 minutes at full gas, but there was a player who had his personal rebellious battle, and that was Vinicius, who scored that crucial goal in the game. The 2-1 for me is one of the turning points of the games, because it looked like Liverpool could score the third, and it was Vinicius who scored that one. And then there is another crucial moment in the game. For me, Eder Militao's goal hurt Liverpool a lot, because the second half started with a 2-2 equalizer. And suddenly, Eder Militao scores that goal. It's the 47th minute. And suddenly, Liverpool, they are like, hang on, we started winning this game. And suddenly, this is 3-2 for Real Madrid. And they got still in the bench players like Toni Kroos, you know, who can come out and actually help them keep the possession and slow down the game. And I think that goal was very important as well. But yeah, I think that Vinicius is one of the players who stand out here. But also, I think that Camavinga, for example, grew as the game went by, because he suffered at the beginning. Today, he was playing in the Casemiro role in an important game for the first time in his life. And I wouldn't say that he excelled in that position, but he definitely showed some maturity at the end of the game, and he was tasty on the ball as well.
Well, Real Madrid did all this as well, with Alaba going off in the first half, let's not forget, and Nacho coming on in the first half. Let's get some reaction. We'll bring as much reaction as we can live on the show. Let's hear from the Liverpool captain, Jordan Henderson.
Very difficult. It's hard to sum it up straight after the game, you know. It's mixed feelings, obviously disappointment and frustration with the result. But for large parts of the first half, definitely I felt we performed well. Probably unlucky to go in at half-time level. But we made too many mistakes around the goals especially. And when you make mistakes, a team like Madrid punish you, and they punished us every time tonight.
And he's absolutely right. The goals just kept flying in the second half. And yes, there might have been a bit of fortune about the way Karim Benzema's first of the night went in via a massive deflection off Joe Gomez. But there was just absolute quality from Real Madrid to finish off that fifth. And the reason I want to pick up that goal, Mark, because it started with an outrageous run from 37-year-old Luka Modric in midfield.
Incredible, wasn't it? He looked like a 20-year-old, the way that he just burst through. And also, this is, well, it's not late in the game, but it's deep in the second half. We're not talking the opening few minutes when a 37-year-old might be feeling quite sprightly. He's been involved in a pretty tough game at Anfield and then had that burst of pace, the awareness to play the pass. I just can't get over the belief of Karim Benzema to have the composure to sit Alisson down. There's three players, I think, back between him and the goal, and he takes it on his left foot and lifts it into the top corner. Incredible.
He could have taken like a random shot after dribbling past Alisson, a strong shot, to the net. You know, any player would have done that. But Karim Benzema is a genius, and he has this finesse. And he went with the left foot, and he put it. He curled it, by the way, and put it in the top right corner. Beautiful goal. But we had more beautiful goals tonight. I will speak in plural about the quality of the goals tonight, because Darwin Núñez's first goal was incredible. Vinicius' first goal was very nice. Karim Benzema's goal was sensational as well. And during the game, I referenced a few players whose contract is running in June 2023. And I don't do this just because I'm putting pressure on Florentino Pérez or anything like that. I just think that, you know, Ceballos, Nacho, Asensio and Modric, the four of them, their contracts are finishing now, are difficult to find in the market. So Real Madrid should be very cautious about that, because players of this quality in the market cost a fortune, and Real Madrid has them. So Asensio didn't have a great game today, but he came out late. Ceballos was very important in midfield. Nacho deputized for Alaba, and he did it commendably, I would say. And then look at Luka Modric. Who can do these runs at 37 years old? There is no physical decline in this player. And if you use him well, rotate him in the league, then in the Champions League big nights, he can offer this. Modric was sensational in the second half. Mm. Not in the first half, in the second half.
When that's the key thing, though, Alvaro. What changed in the second half? Because all of a sudden, those big players were playing a big part in it. Benzema came to the party. Modric was involved as well. What was it that changed?
Well, a few things. I think Fede Valverde helped sometimes Nacho a little bit, and then Mohamed Salah didn't have too many one-on-ones with him. Another thing is that the Eder Militao goal, I think that was very difficult to stomach for Liverpool, because suddenly they were losing 3-2, as I said before, and they weren't expecting that. And then I think that Real Madrid stopped losing silly balls. Camavinga's passing accuracy improved. Same thing applies to Fede Valverde as well. And they kept the ball for longer. And I think that this was the key in Real Madrid's remontada tonight.
Liverpool certainly seem to have lost. They seemed a bit soft, didn't they, ultimately? When it went 2-1, and Liverpool have had these games this season where they have collapsed at times, you could just feel everything changed dramatically on that. On that goal. And as much as Klopp was saying he felt everything was different after the last two matches, it had an air of familiarity. Yes, the scoreline is headline-grabbing and unusual, 5-2 at home. But there is something that I'm sure Jurgen Klopp will acknowledge has been at the core of what's happened this season.
And I wonder if, you know, he said beforehand that those recent games against Real Madrid wouldn't play into their thinking, but I wonder if some of the players thought, here we go again.
How can it not?
Because yeah. Real Madrid have had our number in so many of the recent meetings. Was there just that feeling that they're going to do us again?
Yeah, and I wouldn't like to use injuries as excuse, but I think that they are a reason as well. Javin Diogo Jota, Roberto Firmino and Luis Diaz, two of them not 100% and one of them in the sidelines, takes a lot of creativity away from Liverpool. A lot of creativity. Cody Gakpo is an excellent player, but he is different. Same thing applies probably to Darwin Núñez. He is more of a physical guy. And then in midfield, Liverpool is in a transitional period because Fabinho has been there for a long time. Fine. Then Jordan Henderson, he's already 30 or over. And they are trying to find another player to play there if Thiago is not there. And there are a few candidates. Harvey Elliott, Budgetic, and you know, if you play against Real Madrid, you'd better have certainties. And I'm not criticizing the Spanish youngster Budgetic, but I really think that, for example, Real Madrid doesn't have these doubts right now. I think that Ancelotti knows what his preferred 11 is, and he knows what his substitutions are, whereas Liverpool is in pursuit of a third midfielder if Thiago is not there. They are looking for him.
Let's hear from the man who might be at the centre of that search, Jurgen Klopp.
I think the whole first half was good, besides the goals. Obviously, the first goal, we became slightly passive, a bit higher up the pitch already. We were not chasing them where we had to chase them, because this is a team, when you let them, when you get passive, this is the you get punished. We realized in that moment, yeah, and the second goal is slapstick, should not happen, can happen. And it's 2-2, but the feeling in halftime was rather, yeah. They probably think we cannot do it again, but we can, and we can change five times, and then we can keep the rhythm and these kind of things. But then the first situation, pretty much, they played a long ball to Vinicius. That's obviously not okay. That's then the 3-2, and that doesn't help against a team who is obviously outstandingly good in counter-attacks. It doesn't help, and so we played there in their cards and could not really get back on track anymore.
Well, Alvarez said that the win might be a turning point in Real Madrid's season. What will this do to Liverpool's season just when they'd had the uptick of beating Everton and Newcastle in the Premier League? More on this game shortly. Let's go to our other match from Tuesday's action from Germany. Eintracht Frankfurt were taking on Napoli. Joe Shedden was watching.
Up steps Kvicha Kvaratskhelia here up against the goalkeeper, the captain of Frankfurt, Kevin Trapp. And Kvaratskhelia will address the ball right-footed. It's a relatively short run up here. Here he goes. Saved by Trapp. Pushes it away to his right-hand side. That is a huge moment for the Frankfurt captain. And they're on the break here. Napoli. Lozano crosses. Osimhen taps it in. Napoli lead in the Champions League at Frankfurt. And it's their man in form, Victor Osimhen, who has got it. Well, it's a red card for Randall Kolo Muani lunging in on the challenge with Onguissa right in front of the referee. Di Lorenzo, what a goal for Napoli! A stunning second against the 10 men, and it's Giovanni Di Lorenzo rolling it in with his left foot.
And if you haven't seen that second Napoli goal yet, wow. What an assist and what a cool finish too to seal the win. And it was a deserved win. Joe joins Alvaro and myself now. A comprehensive performance, really, Joe. And based on what I saw, you can tell us better. Frankfurt perhaps fortunate to only be one down at the break.
I think so. We did say before the game, didn't we, Rob, that this would be the toughest test of their maiden Champions League campaign so far. And it certainly proved the case. Napoli have been so formidable, particularly in the forward positions across the UEFA Champions League this season. And, of course, domestically in Serie A as well. 1-0, as you say, it was at half-time. The tap-in for Osimhen after the lovely run and cross from Irving Lozano. It could easily have been more than that. They had a goal ruled out for offside, Napoli. And prior to actually taking the lead, Lozano hit the post. That led to the penalty kick and Trapp's brilliant save from Kvaratskhelia. But really, the game got away from the German team. Just before the hour mark in the second period, a straight red card for Randall Kolo Muani. It was a horrible challenge. Not necessarily intentional on Onguissa, but his timing was dreadful. Right foot planted on the ankle of the midfielder. Referee had no choice but to produce a straight red card. He was standing right in front of the incident, the referee, Artur Diaz. And then minutes later, that lovely second for Di Lorenzo, the captain. He curled it home, low left foot finish, edged the penalty area. Lovely back heel from Kvaratskhelia to set him up. Napoli should have scored more. I think that's probably the one frustration for the coach, Luciano Spalletti. But job well done in the first leg. And you have to say, particularly without Kolo Muani for the second leg for Frankfurt, it would be a remarkable comeback if they were to turn this tie around.
Kvaratskhelia was the focus of so much of the pre-match talk, even on this show, Joe, in truth, after what he's done in the group stage. But what was his performance like? And it was a sublime assist to make the goal for 2-0, having had the setback of having the penalty saved earlier in the game.
Yes, obviously a mixed display. It was a good penalty. It may be a decent height for the goalkeeper, but a good save nonetheless by Kevin Trapp, who actually also denied Kvaratskhelia early in the second half, a close-range stop after the forward burst into the penalty area. But it was a lovely assist, as you say. Great awareness, running actually away from goal as he darted into the penalty area, but knew that Di Lorenzo was behind him. Lovely flowing move, and typical of the football that Napoli have played across the course of the campaign, and for your right back to steam up to the edge of the box and just whip it into the corner with his left foot. It shows the confidence flowing through this side, and you do really feel that Napoli aren't going to fear anybody in this competition. Frankfurt basically didn't threaten the Napoli goal at all. In fact, arguably the home side's best bet in the match was probably in the first 5 or 10 minutes, but Mary didn't have a serious save to make the Napoli goalkeeper over the course of the entire match. There were no injuries from Spalletti's perspective to worry about either, so they are fit and firing on all fronts, and they are an intimidating opposition, I think, for anybody at the moment.
They are intimidating, and they have to be, because they are the top scoring side in the Champions League with 22 goals scored, which is incredible. And it's not only the Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen show, because there are so many good players that Joe has mentioned that they are making the difference for Napoli. The save of Trapp in that penalty 35th minute could have been a turning point for Frankfurt, but it wasn't at the end. And Napoli gets a very important victory. And on the basis of the numbers of Napoli at home, it's difficult to believe that Frankfurt is going to find it easy to come back here, because Napoli hasn't lost in the last 11 Champions League home games to start with, and this season they haven't lost at home in 90 minutes, because in the Italian Cup they did, but they haven't lost in 90 minutes. So it looks very difficult, and you know, we have to give a full praise to Spalletti's side, because he's not the side in the Champions League with more shots or anything like that, but they are the highest scoring side, and it tells me that they managed to create the conditions for the shots to be favorable and being powerful and dangerous shots. You know, they don't shoot just for the sake of it, they shoot when it matters.
I suppose this has been also impressive in part as well, that they're competing in this competition, they comprehensively won their group. Admittedly, they finished level on points, but by the time they played Liverpool at Anfield, it was all done. They'd won the group already, effectively. That they're competing on two fronts right now in search of history, Joe. 15 points Klopp, top of the of Serie A.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, isn't it? The way that they've been able to blow everybody away, particularly domestically. I don't think anybody could have expected a season quite like this. But that first Scudetto since 1990 seems pretty much guaranteed, barring a massive late collapse. You just can't see it. They won 18 of their last 19 league matches. And we talked about the talent throughout this Napoli side. Osimhen in particular just can't stop scoring. It's 20 goals in 24 matches this year in all competitions. And, you know, the scintillating prospect of a potential Serie A and Champions League double. I mean, look, there's a heck of a long way to go in this competition, but it's a long time since we had, well, relatively speaking anyway, a long time since we had an Italian winner of the UEFA Champions League. You have to go back to 2010 and Jose Mourinho's Inter. I'm not saying that Napoli are guaranteed to go all the way by any means, but for form and confidence that is going to be flowing through this squad, there won't be many teams who can beat them on that basis, certainly.
As Joe mentioned, Kolo Muani banned for the second day, Frankfurt's top scorer this season. Let's hear from their head coach, Oliver Glasner.
Yeah, as a whole, it's a deserved win. Also, with 2-0 for Napoli, with very good 20-25 minutes, and then we made too many mistakes today. So the penalty was our own mistake, and the first goal was our own mistake, and then the second goal was offside, but would also have been our own mistake, and then it's difficult, and then we get the red card, and then we knew that it will be very, very tough, and then we could see the quality of Neapel, we could see the self-confidence of Neapel, and then, yeah, at the end, the 2-0 is okay, although we have to say many chances were our mistakes, and so we have to reduce it. But this is also yes, a part of quality, a part of experience, especially on this level. And so, yeah, I hope that we can learn from this game today, and in 3 weeks make it better in Neapel.
Yeah, season after season they make progress, and it's their first ever round of 16 Champions League tie on Tuesday night, and they have been beaten by Napoli. The fans, though, stayed behind and gave their players an incredible reception despite the 2-0 defeat to Napoli. Second leg of that, and Liverpool-Real Madrid, of course, at the Bernabeu, Wednesday the 15th of March. Still to come on the show, we're going to look ahead to tomorrow night's action in the Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
OK, let's focus on Wednesday's action. Now we'll have full match commentary on Matchday Live. Have Inter versus Porto. Alvaro with me here on the show. Alvaro, thoughts on this one? Inter in relatively good shape as you're going to this. Joaquin Correa out. Porto have a few absentees ahead of action at San Siro.
Absolutely. For example, Otavio is out, and I think that Uribe, Galeno, Evaliso may be out as well for this game. The good thing is that Eustaquio and Taremi will be playing. But, you know, this game is difficult to call, really. I think that the Inter is in a very good moment. If it wasn't for Napoli, we would be praising Inter a little bit more. They have been unbeaten in the last five games. Mkhitaryan and Lautaro are scoring goals lately. And Inter's squad looks good, and they've got depth. But on the other hand, they are playing Porto, and Porto has been competitive as of late against Italian sides. Let's don't forget that in 2020 or 2019, I'm not too sure now, they knocked out Juventus, Cristiano Ronaldo's Juventus, Pirlo's Juventus, and Benfica, they are having a great season in Portugal, and Porto is only 2 points away from them. So that tells you the story a little bit. Porto will compete until the very end.
Okay, Inter Porto will be our featured commentary on Matchday Live. Inter second in the table, 3-1 winners over Udinese at the weekend. The other game is Leipzig against Manchester City. Updates on that one. Before we get into it, let's hear from Pep Guardiola, who's full of respect for City's opponents on Wednesday night.
Right after the draw, I knew it, I felt it, that will be a real tough opponent. So, not from my experience, we face any opponent, should be comfortable for us, but the reality is completely different. We know the quality of them. For many years, this club have an own culture for the young players, recruitment and physicality, clear patterns to play, really good to the channels, a lot of play in the middle, physicality. In German football, especially FC, let them make the transition, are unstoppable. Huge respect what they have done this club for many years. When I was in Germany, it was in the second division. I never faced them. And last season we won at home, but with JC Marks, and we struggled with Nkunku. And here we lost. Okay, we already qualified, but we felt how difficult they are. And in many years, maybe they are not still ready to fight against Bayern Munich in Bundesliga, but every season qualify for the Champions League tournament. So huge respect. I know the quality. It will be a tough two games.
Yeah, they met in the group stage last season. Leipzig beating them 2-1 at home. Pep Guardiola was famously not happy after the game at all, but they beat them 6-3 at home. Manchester City released the squad that they were going to be taking out to Germany. No De Bruyne, no Stones, and no Laporte either, I think, on that list. After they drew with Forest at the weekend. Tough game for Manchester City, and Pep Guardiola knows it.
Tough game, and that connection between Haaland and De Bruyne won't be visible this time. I mean, anything can happen in this game, because Leipzig, in 36 Champions League games, they never had a goalless draw. They always managed to make their games entertaining, in their favour or in the opponent's favour. I have seen Manchester City suffering against this kind of opponents, Szoboszlai, especially Timo Werner, Silva, Nkunku. They've got a lot of talent, they are fast, and Manchester City can suffer, but that said, since the match against the Spurs, Manchester City, at least, they are not losing, and they are playing with modern midfielders, because Pep Guardiola wants to regain controls of the game because otherwise the game's difficult for Manchester City.
And Kunku's recently returned as well for RB Leipzig, a massive boost. He scored against City last season. Leipzig without Dani Olmo for the game. Okay, let's have a quick recap on tonight's action. Frankfurt 0, Napoli 2. Joe Shenan was our man across that one in Germany. Joe, your final reflections, and does the result say much about Napoli's credentials as being everyone's favourite dark horse for the Champions League?
Napoli could have scored more, they should have scored more, but 2-0 is probably enough, particularly after Frankfurt had that sending off for arguably their greatest attacking threat in Randall Colomuani. Stranger things have happened in the Champions League in terms of turnarounds before, but I'd be very shocked if Napoli didn't reach the quarterfinals, Rob.
Joe, thank you very much for your company this evening. Back to Liverpool 2, Real Madrid 5. Liverpool led 2-0. Let's get the thoughts of Carlo Ancelotti. Asked if he feared the worst when his side went behind so early.
No, I have a lot of always confidence in my team, but I had the memory of a Manchester City game in the semi-final, 2-0 down after 10 minutes, and slowly we didn't lose confidence. This team is used to fight and never lose a control, above all emotionally.
Carlo Ancelotti there, Mark. They're a scary proposition, aren't they, for the rest of the Champions League?
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just shown why they are the kings of this competition.
And Real Madrid has made a statement today. One more. They are, again, big favourites to win the Champions League after the display of tonight.
And Mark, a quick one. How damaging now do you think for the rest of Liverpool's season?
Well, I think there's a while now between the tonight and the second leg of the tie. Big Premier League games for them on the horizon. Top four and UEFA Champions League next season is still a possibility. That has to be the carrot for them to get going again.
It has been an extraordinary night. Alvaro and Mark, thank you so much for your company. History has been made in the UEFA Champions League this season as Real Madrid become the first team to come from 2-0 down and win a game by a 3-goal margin. 5-2 winners at Liverpool. Napoli of Italy winning 2-0 at Eintracht Frankfurt of Germany. That's all we have time for this evening. We will be back on Wednesday, the 22nd of February from 8 p.m. CET for more live round of 16 action. Full match commentary of Inter versus Porto, as well as live updates from the east of Germany as Leipzig take on Manchester City. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.